Mental Health Monday with Mick Coyle.
Radio City Talk.
Jake Mills from Chasing the Stigma joining me this afternoon for Mental Health Extra. How are you, Jake?
I'm very good. How are you?
I'm all right. You've had a very busy day so far.
I have. I'm here, though, and I'm ready to talk to you.
We appreciate you being here in your very busy day. This could be a bit of a, a breather in the middle of your crazy day. It's good. So we're going to start this afternoon with Theresa May, who's been chatting to our sister station Metro Radio because she's in the northeast today. She's failing to back calls for a suicide prevention minister, and families who've lost loved ones say that words aren't good enough. So this has been a key demand of Project 84. They attracted attention early this year. Their sculptures were on a central London building. They were above the studio where This Morning is filmed, or was filmed, representing the 84 men that lose their life every week to suicide. Now, on a visit earlier today, the Prime Minister said mental health still is an absolute priority for her government.
The issue of mental health, you're right, is absolutely critical for me. It's important for us as a country. For too long, mental health has not been given the attention that it deserves. I'm sure you know the figures. One in four people will suffer a mental health problem during their lifetime. So we do need to, and that's why we're putting record amounts of money into mental health. It's why we're doing initiatives like gradually rolling out, ensuring that every school has a member of staff who's trained to identify mental health problems, to help young people get the support they need. We have actually put been working on a strategy in relation to suicide to try and ensure that we can see a reduction in the number of suicides that take place. Partly that's about what government can do. It's also about what can happen, for example, in the workplace. So I also commissioned two people, Dennis Stevenson and chap from Mind, Paul, to do a piece of work on, for example, mental health in the workplace. Because this is a real issue. Often people who have mental health problems who don't want to talk about their mental health problems, and that can cause them all sorts of difficulties in the workplace, and that can lead to real problems for them, which can sadly have very tragic consequences. So there's a variety of ways in which we're dealing with this, but we've already been putting a focus in policy terms on the issue of suicide.
That's Theresa May chatting in Newcastle today. Your reaction to that, Jake?
It's just painful to listen to, if I'm being totally honest with you. It's just words again, and this is the what you keep hearing is that it's gestures, it's words, it's empty promises, it's promises of things to come. It's not actually anything now on the ground, what's happening. You know, you've got the Project 84, which is exactly what it says. It's 84 men a week who are dying by suicide. We as men, we as people, we as a society can't wait for things to be, oh, we're putting money into this, we're going to roll out. I'm not going to sit here and celebrate the fact that they're going to be making mental health compulsory in schools, because that should be the norm, that should be happening. And again, it's just empty words. It's things that we've heard time and time again without seeing anything practical happening. And we can't afford to just be sitting around and listening to statements again.
So we still remain in a place where there's a shadow minister on the other side of the bench, but Theresa May, the Prime Minister, still failing to back those calls for the suicide prevention minister in the government. So when do you see this actually happening?
Well, I didn't hear any reason why it's not, by the way. I didn't hear any reason why she's not doing that. I'd be really interested to hear the reason why you wouldn't. Just because you're working on other things doesn't mean that you can't have something in place now. Will we ever see it? I think we probably will eventually. Because you can't continue to ignore it, and it is becoming such a it's an epidemic now within the country, well, across the world, if we're being totally honest. And I think importantly, more and more people are becoming aware of it, more and more people are being vocal about it and trying to see what is an injustice. It's immoral that we're not doing more about this. We don't need to be repeating this over and over again, but it seems really valid to do it at the moment, particularly looking at men. That suicide is the single biggest killer of men in this country under the age of 50. The single biggest killer of men. And what are we doing about it? Why is it down to the people, the charities, the activists, why is it down to them to do the work when really it doesn't take a great deal of work from a government point of view to be able to implement something that's going to make a difference? That's why I continue to do what I'm doing by building the Hub of Hope, by bringing support together in one place. It's because it's for that reason. It's for those people who can't afford to wait. A week is a long time. A day is a long time. An hour is a long time for these people. We can't afford to be sitting around and waiting for money to come into place or for education to be rolled out or for, you know, these positions in schools. We can't afford to wait. We have to act now. And she's just simply not listening. She's simply not acting. Her words meant absolutely nothing then.
We'll come back to the idea of what needs to be done, especially maybe within schools and younger ages, before you depart this afternoon. But there is an optimistic figure on the Mental Health Monday podcast this week, a very optimistic figure. Now, we heard from Dr. Sue Martin briefly yesterday in a chat that Mick recorded with her before he went on his holiday. So you can get the full chat, and it is an incredible chat, on the podcast. You just need to search it out. You can find out more online, radiocitytalk.co.uk. But Dr. Sue Martin is now an MBE. She's waiting to get her MBE. Apparently it's going to be later this year. But her general, and listening to her on the podcast, her general attitude towards her devotion to cheering people up, I mean, that's in its simplest terms, but to use really basic methods to turn people's lives around is inspirational, isn't it? She's an incredible person.
It is, and it's so powerful, that idea of using, you know, it's looking at it from a different point of view. It's looking at it from a person-led point of view as well. It's speaking to people like the people, and that's so powerful. It was just, I mean, like, I think even just the interview, it came across not only that passion, but that kind of the calmness, the normality of the conversations that she's having and how she kind of leads onto that. But again, it's about people like her, who rightly so is being recognised for the work that she's doing. But if it wasn't for people like her and people who we hear on the show week in, week out, who are doing the work, who are seeing the gaps and seeing how things need to be done and filling those voids themselves, they're the people who are the real heroes, who are making a difference on a day-to-day basis for the people who need it the most. It was a really, really nice interview, though.
She made some good points, actually, and it connects quite well to Project 84, where she talks about the roles of men in society, and this old-school idea, I suppose, that you have to be a provider and be stable and be an alpha male, and make references having the perfect car and having the perfect house. And she sort of turns that on its head, really, and makes it clear that actually, as a man, you don't necessarily in this day and age have to feel that you're 100% successful at everything you do. You can find one thing that you're good at, and that's enough to take you through a day sometimes.
Yeah, I liked a kind of unapologetic approach to it as well. You know, she talked about the topic in a way that I think a lot of people will skirt around, and you know, addressing the fact that, yeah, as men, you might have to go in and beat your chest again, and that's going to, you know, impact on your position, how you're kind of portrayed. But I think it was really interesting because this is, you know, the Project 84 is about men, led by Calm, and we know we're not kind of dismissing the mental health difficulties and suicides within women as well in the country, particularly young women. But it's addressing this, as I said, epidemic within men. Why is that? Why is that? I get asked this all the time. Why men? Why, you know, why are men struggling with this? And I think it all does come back down to that idea of the perception of what a man is meant to do, what he's meant to achieve, his position within society. I think it comes back down to that fear of, if I talk about this, am I going to make myself vulnerable? Am I going to open myself up to an attack? I think that's what it does all come down to. It's being scared to show that vulnerability. And I've noticed when I talk about mental health, whether it's at an event, whether it's a one-on-one with somebody who asks what I do, men will always, always tell me something that they've struggled with once I've opened up about what I do. The reason is they trust me to not use that against them. And I think that's what it's about. I think there's a myth that men don't want to talk. I think that's untrue. It is a myth, and men do want to talk, just don't necessarily know how or where or when to talk. And it's about gaining that trust and that reassurance that, you know what, you're not going to be judged for this, and you're not going to be attacked for this, and nobody's going to use this against you. And it's gaining that trust to be able to break through and to say it's okay, you can talk.
Do we see too much toxic masculinity still in the world, from politicians, from public figures, from people who hide behind social media handles, that still intimidates men? And actually, we touched on this briefly yesterday, and it's an unrelated story, but it could connect, sort of. And it was a stat on how many pubs are closing each week in the UK. And a contributor on the panel said that pubs originally were a place where men could go and talk. And I'm not saying they were talking about their feelings, and they were probably talking about work and families and probably back in the day what they were up to. And that sort of lack of social space where men can communicate isn't there anymore. And if you were to put a label on a football ground, you'd probably say, or a sports ground, that would be the place where the talking should happen. Mm. But because there's still an idea, this perception of masculinity around sport, and we still don't have an openly gay footballer in one of the big clubs or anything like that, is a minor example of the fact that it's still shrouded in masculinity.
Yeah, I think there's a massive misconception about the actual phrase toxic masculinity, and I think a lot of people will take that as an attack on men. The way I see it, it's not an attack on men. It's not saying men can't be men, and the idea of a man is toxic. That's not what that means, in my opinion. It's addressing these stereotypical ways that men are hiding behind a perception what they think they should be like, and not accepting actually who they are, not talking about the feelings, not being emotional, because this idea of what it is to be masculine. And I think that is what the toxic masculinity actually is, and what it refers to. And I think that is a huge factor in the suicide rates that we see within men. But as you said, you know, football grounds, pubs, these are the places where we can be having conversations, because people are coming together. And I think it was mentioned yesterday, but I've said this before, when you talk about mental health, if you went out in the street and you said to anybody, tell me a word that you associate with mental health, it will always be negative, because this is the message we're putting out, is that mental health is when you're struggling. Mental health is about everyday life. We all have mental health, whether it's good or bad. And when I'm talking about saying in a football ground or in a pub, we should be talking about our mental health, that doesn't mean that you need to be crying into your mate's shoulder and saying I'm struggling. But it's just talking generally and asking how you are and being comfortable and saying, do you know what, I'm not okay, or I'm struggling a bit, or this is going on, but I'll be all right. You know, it's just having a conversation, it's opening up. But places like football grounds, pubs, taxis, all these places are actually where we should be getting that message out there and normalising the message and normalising that conversation, to know that if you do ever struggle, you can open up to somebody.
And Sue Martin on the podcast she referenced the importance of drop-in centres for her experience. And obviously the waiting list for counselling on the NHS are very, very long. So drop-in centres will always play a big part in terms of people being able to kind of access some instant relief from what they're going through.
Yeah, and it's about being able to signpost to the help that's available. You know, from doing the work that I have been doing at Chasing the Stigma and the Hub of Hope, I'm learning every single day just how much support is out there, how many organisations, charities, community groups are willing to just take people in just to have a chat, have a coffee, and be able to then signpost onto further help if it's needed. But I think as a society, we think generally there's only two ways of help: one, antidepressants, and two, therapy or counselling. And what we don't appreciate is that there's things that can either go hand in hand with them or as well as them while you're waiting on a waiting list as well. You never have to just stick to the one. There's loads of options.
You were at Lymph over the weekend.
We were. I'd like to say that I enjoyed the music and the booze, but I didn't at all.
You were too busy.
we were collecting donations for Chasing the Stigma and having loads of conversations. Genuinely, loads of conversations. across the 2 days with people who were coming up to us, asking us about what we do as a mental health charity, sharing their stories. Again, people are so willing to share their stories once they know that somebody is not going to judge them. And just really getting that word out there that, you know, there's help available and people don't have to suffer. And it was a massive eye-opener for me how many people were willing at a music festival to come up and just talk about the mental health. It's fantastic.
Now, once again, it's one of those spaces, isn't it, where people are enjoying themselves but may not be feeling great. And if there is, you know, an opportunity, you always see the first aid tent. You know, all festivals should also have the mental health tent as well, right?
Absolutely. And we were working, the youth workers who were there and stewards and security were all really interested in it as well. So it's really good to know.
And Lizzie reminds me that you had free cake, and that's very important.
That is what got us the money, let's be honest, because it was the cheapest thing there.
And before you go back to your very busy day, you guys have been nominated for an award, so bravo. Tell us what that is.
Yes, so we've been nominated for a Charity Times Award for innovation, and looking at how we've used technology within what we do by building a hub of hope and making the help as easy as possible to find. Yeah, I mean, I still feel like it's just an idea in my head. So it's strange to hear other people talk about it and then be nominated for such a big award as well. So, yeah, I think the award night is in October, so fingers crossed.
Well deserved. Well done. You're going to be back next week with Mick?
Yeah.
Fabulous. What else is on the agenda for today? Anything
else you get? Just meetings and coffee. I'm sick of it.
No more coffee.
Yeah, no more meetings.
You shouldn't be having coffee at this time of day. I'll give you a wait later.
Tea.
Yeah, all the way. Jake, thank you so much. Remind everyone of the website for us.
So it's chasingstigma.co.uk and hubofhope.co.uk to find local and national support.
Mental Health Monday on Radio City Talk with Mick Coyle.
Radio City Talk.